Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a Dubwise Jungle Reese patch, then stacking and arranging it, so it actually works like a proper drum and bass bassline. If you've ever heard a Reese bass and thought, yeah, that's huge, but how do I make it useful in a track? This lesson is for you. We're not just designing a sound, we're turning that sound into a playable, controllable, arrangement-ready bass part that can sit under jungle drums, answer the snare, and still hit with weight. The big idea here is simple. In DNB, the drums tell the story, and the bass supplies the attitude. So our job is not to make the bass do everything. Our job is to make it do the right things. We're going to build two layers. First, a clean mono sub for the low end. Then, a detuned Reese mid layer for movement, pressure, and character. After that, we'll shape the tone, group the layers, and arrange a short 8-bar idea that feels like a real drop section. Not just a looping synth demo. Start by setting your project tempo to 170 BPM. That's a classic drum and bass zone, and it gives the whole patch the right kind of urgency straight away. Create a MIDI track and name it Reese Bass so your session stays organized. And right from the beginning, think in layers. One track for sub, one track for Reese mid, and then a bass group to bring it all together. If you've got Wavetable, use that. It's ideal for this. If not, analog can still get you there. The important thing is the structure, not the exact device. We want a clean workflow that's easy to understand and easy to edit later. Now let's build the Reese sound itself. On the mid layer, set up two saw oscillators. Detune the second oscillator slightly against the first, just enough to create tension and movement, without turning the sound into a blurry mess. A small detune amount goes a long way here. We're aiming for that classic stacked, unstable feel, but still tight enough to work in a bass line. Keep the voice count low. One or two voices is usually enough for this kind of patch. Too much unison and too much width can make the low mids get messy fast, and in drum and bass, messy bass usually means weak drums. Less is often more. Next, add a low pass filter. Start dark. You can always open it later. A low cutoff gives us that Dubwise vibe right away, like the bass is sitting behind a curtain and slowly stepping forward. Add a little resonance if you want some edge, but don't overdo it. We want pressure, not whistle. Now bring in a little movement using an LFO. Sync it to the tempo and keep the depth subtle. This is important. We are not making a huge wobble bass. We're making a rolling Reese that breathes. A gentle filter movement on eighth notes or quarter notes can be enough to give the sound life, without stealing focus from the groove. At this stage, you should already hear the character of the patch. It should feel tense, slightly animated, and dark. If it feels too plain, that's fine. The rest of the chain will give it personality. Now we build the sub layer. This is where beginners often make the wrong move. They try to force the Reese itself to carry the whole low end. Don't do that. In drum and bass, a clean sub is what keeps the track stable and powerful. The Reese is the attitude layer. The sub is the foundation. Create a second track called sub, and use a sine wave. Keep it mono. No stereo width. No unison. No fancy movement. If you want, add utility and set the width to 0% just to be absolutely sure. That low end should feel solid and centered. If the sub needs a little more audibility on smaller speakers, you can add a tiny bit of saturation. Just a little. The goal is not to distort it into a different sound. The goal is simply to help it translate. The sub should stay clean, simple, and lock to the same MIDI notes as the Reese mid layer. That separation is one of the core habits in modern DNB. Sub equals simple. Mid equals character. If you remember nothing else from this lesson, remember that. Now let's shape the mid layer so it feels more Dubwise and more record ready. Add saturator first. Give it a moderate amount of drive, just enough to bring out the harmonics and make the bass speak. Then add EQ8 and high pass the Reese so it stays out of the sub region. You want the sub handling the real weight down low, while the Reese lives above that and adds movement, growl, and attitude. After that, use utility to manage stereo width. You can keep the mid layer a bit wider if it stays controlled, but be careful not to let the low mid spread too much. A lot of people widen bass because it sounds exciting on headphones, but then it falls apart on a club system. We want width in the character layer, not chaos in the low end. If you want even more dub flavor, add a touch of chorus ensemble or echo. Keep it subtle. A small amount of chorus can add a nice and stable shimmer. A filtered echo can give you that classic Dubwise atmosphere. But again, less is more. If the effect starts to wash out the groove, pull it back. Now group your sub and Reese tracks into a bass group. This is where things start to feel like one instrument instead of two separate sounds. On the group, add a light glue compressor, just enough to make the layers sit together. You're not crushing the base. You're gluing the layers into a single performance. This is also the perfect moment to check the bass in mono. That is non-negotiable in drum and bass. If the bass falls apart in mono, you need to simplify before you add more processing. Usually the fix is easy. Reduce stereo spread, keep the sub clean, and make sure the reese isn't crowding the low end. Now comes the fun part. Writing the actual bass phrase. A good beginner mistake is trying to write a full melody right away. Don't do that. In jungle and drum and bass, the bass line often works best when it leaves space and answers the drums. Start with just a couple of notes. Seriously, fewer notes than you think you need. Think in call and response. Put a short bass hit after a snare, then maybe another offbeat note before the next bar turns over. Leave a pocket for the drums to breathe. If your bass keeps landing on top of the snare, the whole thing will feel crowded. The snare needs room to punch through. A great starting point is a two-bar phrase with only 2 to 4 notes total. One note can land on beat one or just after it. Another can answer the snare. Then leave a gap. Then maybe a longer held note near the end of the bar to let the filter movement bloom. That kind of phrasing gives you movement without clutter. Now duplicate that idea into an 8-bar loop. Keep the first 2 bars sparse and confident. Then in bars 3 and 4, change one note or slightly alter the rhythm. In bars 5 and 6, add a small pickup note or a tiny fill. Then in bars 7 and 8, strip something back or open the filter a little to create a transition into the next section. This is where the arrangement starts to feel like music instead of a loop. Repetition is part of the genre, but the variation is what keeps it alive. Tiny changes go a long way in DNB. You do not need a brand new bass line every 2 bars. You need a phrase that evolves just enough to stay interesting. Now add some automation. Automate the filter cutoff so it opens slowly over 4 or 8 bars. That gives the bass a sense of motion and development. If you want extra tension, automate a small resonance rise before a phrase change. And for that proper dubwise touch, add a delay throw on the last note of a bar or phrase. One well-placed echo can do more than a whole chain of effects. This is a really important production mindset. Use effects like punctuation. Not all the time. Just where they matter. A single delay throw at the end of an 8-bar phrase can make the whole drop feel bigger and more intentional. If you want, you can also add a short reverb send, a reverse cymbal, or a little noise swell before the next section. But keep your main drop relatively controlled. Save the bigger atmospheric gestures for transitions and breakdowns. In the drop, clarity is king. Once the bass is feeling good, bring in a simple breakbeat underneath it. Let the drums and bass work together. If the kick disappears or the groove feels clogged, check the note length first. Then check the low-mid saturation. Then check whether the bass is landing too close to the snare transient. Usually, the fix is not adding more sound. Usually, the fix is simplifying the rhythm. That's a big drum and bass lesson right there. The bass should interlock with the break, not fight it. A short bass stab can answer the snare. A longer note can sit under a fill. A gap can make the next hit feel heavier. In DNB, silence has weight too. If you want to push the patch a little further, there are a few easy variations. Try changing note lengths between sections. Use short stabs in one part, then slightly held notes in the next, or flip one note up an octave in the mid layer only. That gives you more energy without overloading the sub. You can also make one bar more empty on purpose. Sometimes removing a hit makes the next one feel massive. Another strong move is building 2 versions of the same patch. Version A can be darker and more closed, while version B is a little more open and aggressive. Then alternate them every 4 or 8 bars. That kind of a slash B phrasing keeps the loop evolving without needing a totally new sound. Before we finish, save the whole thing as an instrument rack. Map a few macros so you can control the important stuff quickly. Filter cutoff, detune amount, saturation, echo send, stereo width, and sub level. That way, you've built not just one bass patch, but a reusable drum and bass tool you can bring into future sessions. So let's recap the core workflow. Build a clean mono sub and a detuned reese mid layer. Keep the reese high passed so the sub stays clear. Write short, intentional phrases with space for the drums. Use filter movement, delay throws, and subtle saturation for dubwise character. Arrange in 8-bar phrases with variation, tension, and release. Then save it as a rack so you can use it again fast. If you want a final challenge, make a 16-bar section using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the note count low. Include 1 empty bar, 1 filter sweep, 1 delay throw, and 1 variation in the second half. Check it in mono. Make sure it works with a basic breakbeat. And most importantly, make it feel like a real drop section, not just a sound design loop. That's the difference between a cool patch and an actual drum and bass bassline. Take your time, keep the sub clean, keep the reese controlled, and let the drums and bass talk to each other. That's where the magic happens.